Welcome to another broadcast of the Bible Institute of the Air, coming to you from Bob Jones University in Greenville, South Carolina. Our Bible study today comes from the book of Exodus. Our teacher is Mr. Jesse Boyd, who served as a member of the Bible faculty at Bob Jones University until the time he went to be with his Lord. And now by tape recording, here is today's study by Mr. Boyd.
Turn in your Bibles, please, to the book of Exodus, chapter 31. That's Exodus chapter 31, and we're going to consider today verses 12 to 18. This portion of Scripture comes within the scope of the chapters 19 to 40, which deal with a period of Israel's history known as the theological period. Israel is encamped at Mount Sinai. 26 chapters here are devoted to 9.5 months of their history. And in chapter 19, we have a record of the revelation of the Lord. In chapters 20 to 24, the annunciation of the law. And chapters 25 to 40, the designation of the way. Now that, of course, has to do with the way of approach unto God. 16 chapters, then, are devoted to this great theme, which indicates its importance. And the tabernacle with its furnishings and its priesthood and its offerings all dominate these 16 chapters. They may be further divided into chapters 25 to 31, the gracious provision for Israel, chapters 32 to 34, the grievous perversion of Israel, and chapters 35 to 40, the glorious performance in Israel. We've already noticed that chapter 30 is the great worship chapter of the book of Exodus, telling us where and who and how to worship. In chapter 31, we have two things revealed. First of all, the builders of the tabernacle, and second, the sign of the Sabbath. And today, we're going to consider this matter of the sign of the Sabbath, that is, a sign between the Lord and the nation Israel. So chapter 31, verse 12, we read, "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak thou also unto the children of Israel, saying, Verily, my Sabbaths ye shall keep, for it is a sign between me and you throughout your generations, that ye may know that I am the Lord that doth sanctify you. Ye shall keep the Sabbath, therefore, for it is holy unto you. Every one that defileth it shall surely be put to death. For whosoever doeth any work therein, that soul shall be cut off from among his people. 6 days may work be done, but in the seventh is the Sabbath of rest, holy to the Lord. Whosoever doeth any work in the Sabbath day, he shall surely be put to death. Wherefore the children of Israel shall keep the Sabbath, to observe the Sabbath throughout their generations, for a perpetual covenant. It is a sign between me and the children of Israel forever. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, and on the seventh day he rested and was refreshed. And he gave unto Moses, when he had made an end of communing with him upon Mount Sinai, 2 tables of testimony, tables of stone written with the finger of God." Now, in these verses that we've read, first of all, we have the Lord's affirmation regarding the Sabbath sign. Three things are indicated here. Number one, it is the sign of the Lord's claims. "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak thou also unto the children of Israel, saying, Verily, my Sabbaths ye shall keep." He claims that the Sabbaths belong to him. Now, of course, these various system of Sabbaths that were set up in the nation Israel included more than just the 7-day Sabbath. It included the sabbatical year, which was the 7th year. It included the year of Jubilee, which was the Sabbath after the 49th year. And then it included also various Sabbaths connected with the feasts or festive seasons in Israel's ceremonial system. All right, now he says they are my Sabbaths. So God makes claim with regards Israel unto the Sabbaths. The second thing he says about it is it's a sign of the Lord's covenant, for it is a sign between me and you throughout your generations. And in verse 16 he says, the Sabbath throughout your generations for a perpetual covenant. So as a sign of the Lord's covenant, the covenant God made with Israel at Sinai. Of course, this is the Mosaic covenant in which God brought Israel into relationship to the law that he gave to Moses. And the third place he affirms about this Sabbath sign is it's the sign of the Lord's consecration. He says, verily my Sabbaths ye shall observe, or ye shall keep, for it is a sign between me and you throughout your generations, that ye may know that I am the Lord that doth sanctify you. Here is one of the compound titles for God, the Lord that doth sanctify you, or the Lord your sanctifier. So the Sabbaths were to be observed by Israel in order that the children of Israel might know that they were related to the Lord who was their sanctifier, who had set them apart from the other nations of the world to be his own people for his own holy use. So we have in verses 12 to 13 then the affirmation regarding the Sabbath sign. In verses 14 and 15 we have recorded for us the declaration regarding the Sabbath sign. Ye shall keep the Sabbath, therefore. In other words, this is the reason why he gives them that they're to keep the Sabbath, because he had made a covenant with them, and he had made this the sign of that covenant relationship, and he had made it with them in order that they might know that he is their sanctifier, the God or the Lord who does sanctify them. And then he points out that it is holy unto you. That is, it's a holy day for the nation Israel. They were to observe it as a holy day, a day distinct from all other days, a day separated from the days of labor, the days of work. It was a sort of a jubilee for them that they declared by their cessation of work and the observance of the Sabbath rest that they were set free from the bondage of that sin which brought labor upon work. All right. Then he points out in these verses the solemnity of this command when he says, everyone that defileth it shall surely be put to death. For whosoever doeth any work therein, that soul shall be cut off from among his people. And then in verse 15 also, everyone whosoever doth any work on the Sabbath day, he shall surely be put to death. Here we have recorded for us one of the various sins that Israelites could commit in the Old Testament, for which there was no provision in the law of Moses for forgiveness or for justification. The death penalty was assessed against the one who violated this Sabbath rest. So this speaks of the solemnity of the Sabbath sign. God declares with great warning that those who refuse to obey would certainly be cut off from among the people, and that meant to be slain, to be killed. And then he says in verse 15, another thing regarding it, 6 days may work be done, but the seventh is the Sabbath of rest, holy to the Lord. Now you recall back in verse 13, it was to be holy, rather in verse 14, it was to be holy unto the nation Israel. Here it's holy to the Lord, so it's the Lord's holy day in which the Israelites were to make a holy day by ceasing to work and observing a rest. In chapter 34, in verse 21, we read further instructions regarding this, where the Lord said, and through Moses, 6 days thou shalt work, but on the seventh day thou shalt rest. In earing time and in harvest thou shalt rest. In other words, even at the time when the grain puts forth its ears, which require attention by the farmers, or in the time of harvest when they were to gather the grains, requiring work, they were still to honor this day of rest. Again, in chapter 35, in verses 1 to 3, "And Moses gathered all the congregation of the children of Israel together and said unto them, These are the words which the Lord hath commanded that ye should do them. 6 days shall work be done, but on the seventh day there shall be to you an holy day, a Sabbath of rest to the Lord. Whosoever doeth work therein shall be put to death. Ye shall kindle no fire throughout your habitations upon the Sabbath day." Again, stress is laid upon the solemnity of this command in pronouncing the death penalty for those who refused to rest on the Sabbath. It was to be a rest unto the Lord. That is, it was to be observed with reference to Him, and it was to be a holy day distinct from all other days. So here we have the declaration then regarding the Sabbath sign. And then in verses 16 and 17, there's recorded for us the explanation regarding the Sabbath sign. "Wherefore, the children of Israel shall keep the Sabbath, to observe the Sabbath throughout their generations for a perpetual covenant. It is a sign between me and the children of Israel forever. 4 and 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, and on the seventh day he rested and was refreshed." The word "wherefore" suggests the basis for that which follows, and of course the basis is the warning against refusing to observe the Sabbath law. And because of that great warning, Israel was to keep the Sabbath. They were to observe it throughout their generations. It was to be a perpetual covenant then, you see, between the nation Israel and the Lord. It was to be a sign forever. And the reason for it all was that the Lord, when he finished his creative work, as recorded in Genesis chapter 1, he did so in 6 days, and then on the seventh day he rested and was refreshed. That is, he looked upon his work that had been completed, and he exercised the rest of satisfaction in a job done and was refreshed. And then, of course, this passage closes by pointing out that the Lord gave to Moses, when he made an end of communing with him on Mount Sinai, 2 tables of the testimony. They were tables of stone, and the law was written on those tables of stone with the finger of God. And so these were God's very words, and they were important words. They were words which were to be observed literally, specifically, and religiously by the people of Israel. And you know, God's word, dear friends, is an important word for you and me. And when we come to the Bible, the word of God, it is incumbent upon us that we do so with a view to receiving what God has said, to applying it to our lives so that he can be glorified by the things that we say and the things that we do.
Today's study was given by Mr. Jesse Boyd, who served as a member of the Bible faculty of Bob Jones University. We trust that the timeless truths taught in these studies, recorded by Mr. Boyd during his earthly ministry, will help you in your daily walk with the Lord. Join us again next time for more helpful studies on the Bible Institute of the Air. This program is a production of Bob Jones University in Greenville, South Carolina.